You have tuned in to the greatest 45 minutes to an hour that you will spend.
Or have we tuned in
your
to you?
Entire week. Because this is your week. This week in Mormons, where we bring you Mormon news and commentary.
Because this is your week this week.
You like that?
In Mormons.
No,
I liked it a lot. I feel like that was good, Jeff.
I am a wordsmith.
All right, keep going. Just keep riffing.
Well, I would have if you'd stop interrupting me about
we're
inside your mind or whatever you're saying. I don't know what's going on.
No, this is your week. It's this week in Mormons. Boom, go.
This is your week. This week in Mormons. That's right, everybody. See, I lost it. Now I don't have it.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. All right. You want to start over?
No. I like where we're at right now. The people can laugh.
Okay.
They're laughing with me. They're laughing with me, Michael.
No.
It'll be fine. But anyways, yeah, we're here to talk about Mormon stuff, what's going on in the world. But that's not all we do.
That pretty much is all we do.
Okay, that's all we do. But of course, please find us at thisweekinmormons.com. Send us an email. Contact at thisweekinmormons.com. Go like us on Facebook if you would. Facebook.com/thisweekinmormon.
Wait, are we done?
And
is that it?
At the Real Twim on Twitter, and
it's over.
Subscribe on iTunes. No,
best show ever.
I am preempting now.
Best show ever. So, I think this is what the kids call of the pre-gaming.
So, anyways, I'm Jeff,
no?
And I am here with my friend, this guy Al. I want to know how he's doing, Al.
Hey everybody.
Speak to me about the music of your heart.
Yeah, I'm really good. I'm out in back in Missouri right now. Excited to be here, living the life in the heart of the Midwest.
Living la vida loca.
No, you know what's exciting? I'm excited for tomorrow night. I have an outdoor movie in the park thing we're doing for here in our tiny 900 person town in the Midwest.
Who's gonna come? I see those in more populated areas. Are they gonna broadcast it on the wall?
It was my birthday, and so I went and bought a big 20-foot blow up screen, and a projector to handle it, and two big speakers, and all the wiring. And if you email the distribution studios, like I get to show Indiana Jones for like $150. It's gonna be awesome.
Oh yeah, 'cause you got to pay for all the viewing rights, huh?
Yeah, which I'm totally fine with. That's not a big deal to me.
Are you going to do it in the little JCPenney park?
We'll get people to donate money to come and see this because there's not a movie theater for within an hour. So I mean, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, you got to go to Liberty or Chillicothe, right? I mean,
you know,
come on.
Cameron's closed. Cameron movie theater done. Over.
Yeah, but they have Walmart there, so. So you're going to watch an Indiana Jones. Which one will you be viewing?
I don't know. I haven't even decided. Jeff, there's so many options, and so we're just going to put it up tomorrow.
When you get these distributor rights, who do you go through for that? Do they just send you a DVD, or what do you actually?
You just Google it. No, they just license it to you, and then you provide your own media.
You just do whatever you want. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is your projector high def?
It is, Jeff. It's a very because it's got to be a 20-foot screen. It's going to be a big deal.
Is it 4K?
I don't know what that means.
And you call yourself a projectioner?
I do not project that I know projectors.
I once had a projector. Well, my old roommate did, and it was a glorious time.
I emailed my old buddy that had a huge movie theater in our basement in the last house I lived in and said, here's what I'm trying to do. What do I get?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was about to say, you could have talked to me, Al. I know AV equipment, but then I forgot about Lance. So yeah, good call there. Good call.
Lance knows a thing or two.
Even I talk to him about things sometimes.
Yeah, that man's brilliant.
I know. That was a glorious...
Brilliante.
Well, that sounds like fun. Well, I hope you watch a good Indiana Jones movie, so preferably not the fourth one.
Whoa. Yeah, I wouldn't do the fourth one.
So maybe just Raiders? That'd be a good way to go.
Yeah, sure.
Or Last Crusade.
Okay.
Did I tell you that I made my wife watch all of them because she had never really seen them?
No. Sounds wonderful.
We still haven't watched the fourth one, but we watched the original trilogy, if you will.
Dude, those three are great.
They are great. But it's really funny watching them with somebody who just does not care. And, I mean, Temple of Doom she thought was too gross. She was reasonably amused by Raiders. She liked Last Crusade the most.
With Sean Connery?
That's the funniest, probably, of all of them. All
right, whatever. She sounds like a weak-minded woman.
Well,
no offense.
Next up, Al, you would love this. I'm going to make her watch. Well, not make her. This is almost her idea. All 8 Harry Potter movies.
Has she not seen them?
I think there's a couple she might be missing. So it's the worst thing about the Harry Potter movies is they're enjoyable overall, but they only get
The first three are awful.
That's the thing. They only get
much like the books.
They get really good when you're like 6, 7, and 8, but you have to start at the beginning to build the foundation. And the first movie is just it's like a bad John Hughes movie. Not John Hughes. It's a Chris
Cusack.
No, it's a Chris Columbus movie. So it's like you're
serendipity.
Watching. It's Uncle Buck. It is Home Alone.
He finds iced hot chocolate and then lays in Central Park in the snow with the muggles.
And the mitten. You must find
the mitten.
Don't forget the mitten. You got to make it through 1 and 2. 3's pretty good, and then they get better. But you do have to really persevere to make the series worth your while.
I feel like once you're married, all you're trying to do is find things to entertain yourself in the evenings. I don't have a problem. There's nothing in me that's like, you know what I'm going to do next week, Jeff? I'm going to watch all the Harry Potters. I'm going to get through all of them.
I didn't say this was going to happen over the course of a week. This is a long-term goal. Someday
see a bunch of movies. That's your goal? Yeah, that's the big idea.
Some couples save to have a family or to buy a car.
Some couples save to
have. My goal is merely just to
Jeff,
watch movies.
I think so little of you and your ambitions with your wife. There are people out there that are having babies.
Yeah, but
I wag my finger at you.
Wag it all you want, sir. Anyways, I'm excited. This weekend we are heading down to the Deep South. We're going to Hotlanta, so that'll be fun.
Woo!
And then I'm going out to Utah, folks. That's right. Utah, people, next week. I don't know if we'll
have... Jeff, we should do a twin gathering while you're in Utah.
Okay, we'll do a twin... We don't need to have anything to record while I'm there because of when you'll be back, but...
No, if you would be interested in getting together for a night of food and festivities with Jeff and I, send an email to contact at This Week in Mormons, and we will buy you dinner.
Al will buy you dinner.
Bologna sandwiches.
Yeah.
But that'd be fun to do. It'd be fun. We can get together, a little listener party. Boom.
We do owe it to our listeners, and then they can all just watch us talk, like the show.
Yeah, we'll do a Q&A, a live Q&A with them.
Wouldn't it be great if we attracted nothing but just, strange people who would actually enjoy just watching us talk to each other? And they'd say, like, it's just like listening to the show.
And then I keep going. Yeah, now no banter. Banter more. I'd be like, this is weird. We're leaving.
Yeah, it's terrible. So anyway.
Anyway.
Al, you know.
That's great. It'll be good to have you, man. It'll be really fun.
Yeah, you know what? I love visiting Utah. I greatly enjoy it. I know I tease and I make fun of Utah because you have to. It's just part of what you do when you're a Mormon who's not from Utah. But I'm stoked to be there. It's a great place. I understand it is the place.
It is the place.
That's what they've said. So, Al, I think this would be a good time. Why don't you tell our listeners about a little project that that we're working on here a little bit.
So Jeff and I decided we were going to run a TWIM gospel study sesh. All right. So I really like doing this show with Jeff. A lot of people talk to me about sort of some of the benefits of the show, and I always reference the fact that my testimony has stayed strong because in doing this show, Jeff and I are forced to articulate our opinions and our thoughts and how. You know, different moves by the church and things around the church affect us, right? So when Prop 8 was going on, I mean, Jeff and I, it's not something that we can just ignore to the point where it festers in not understanding and then we just, like, are confused and have this terrible experience when we are forced to give an answer, right? Like when a friend approaches you and says, what do you guys believe about this? And it takes you by surprise. Instead, because we've talked through it, and we sort of have come to grips with how it reconciles with our beliefs and our understanding and all that stuff. I feel like I have a much stronger, I'm much more at ease with myself in the gospel because of the conversations that Jeff and I have on this show. So the gospel is a lot like that. I remember when I got to the MTC as a missionary and they first started doing like, you would do these themed studies, and they would be like, all right, study the fall this week. And I'd be like, the fall, please. All right, Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit and, you know, got kicked out of the garden. That's all that happened. And But because we'd study it for a week, and every day I would write down, I was writing down my study, right? So I would write through sort of my understanding and what I understood it to be, and then I would go and study and write what I found, and then the next day, on and on and on. My testimony of those topics really, really grew, and it got very strong. Well, and so Jeff and I decided we wanted to do a similar thing for ourselves now, because I feel like we all... I mean, if you're listening to the show, Dimes to Donuts says you're trying to be a good Mormon, but you have all these things pulling at you, which all of us do, and we try the hardest we can, but we're not all perfect. So the thought is, if we're, you know, get your 30 minutes of scripture study in a day, and if you're not doing that, you're just like probably 90% of the people out there, so don't feel bad. And then we're going to try and do that, and then we're also going to try and do a themed study with you week by week. So we've got about 50 topics that we're going to work through. And the idea is just that we'll send out an email probably every day, and it'll just have a couple of questions in it. Some scripture references, maybe a quote or two here and there. But the purpose is for you to write through what you understand the topic to be. So for instance, we'll send an email out that's Joseph Smith. So that's going to be our topic for a week, right? So let's say our topic was Joseph Smith. You're going to write down everything that you can think of. What do you understand that to be as a doctrine? Or maybe a better one would be humility or the Holy Ghost or something like that, right? And you're just going to write your understanding of it. And then day to day, I mean, it's just write in your journal, sort of your study journal of what you're studying. So for instance, if my first topic is the nature of God, which it will be, our first topic is the nature of God. What do you think of when you hear the nature of God? Mine's going to be a pretty short paragraph because I'm not going to be able to go real deep. I haven't thought about it in a long time. Then we're going to ask you a series of questions. You come up with your own, email back and forth with us on things you find, ideas you have, stuff that might help other people. And we're just going to write every day and study. And then by the end of it, the idea is as you go back and reference the nature of God and write again what your understanding is after a week of going through this stuff, that you'll have a significant increase in understanding and in reference. This is helpful in just general gospel life. So that's the idea that we're trying to do. Jeff and I have a pretty big task ahead of us of scheduling daily snippet emails and stuff, but I think it'll be good. I think it'll be really helpful.
And so it's not totally going yet, but the way you can get involved in this for now, we'll set up some more stuff as we get it going. But if you go to thisweekinmormons.com, over in the left sidebar, you should now see a simple thing to put in your email address and subscribe. You can subscribe to general updates, of course, from us, which is a great way to make sure you don't miss anything that happens within this Week in Mormons realm. And also you check a box and you can sign up for this gospel doctrine this gospel study initiative sesh journal madness thing that we're doing, as yet to be officially named, I guess. But if you go there and fill that out, it'll get you on the list for now. And that way, for sure, once we send out the first one within the next couple of weeks tops, you'll be on there. So we hope you'll go to thisweekinmormons.com, plug in your email address. We promise we don't share it. We're not marketing stuff or anything like that. Just give it to us so we can create this wonderful classroom.
Also, as a caveat, we will send you emails with new episodes, stuff like that. So if you want to stay in touch with us, you'll have the option of either just signing up to be on our list or signing up for the study sesh as well. Try it out. If nobody cares, right, like we don't reach a sort of a critical mass, we're not going to bother with it, but we hope that it'll be something that you guys kind of respond to. Back in the day, I subscribed to like the LDS Gems newsletter.
Oh, yeah.
And it'd send out quote every day type of thing. That kind of stuff was meaningful to me, and I'd get around to reading it every now and then. The idea for this, obviously, is just that it's sort of, the reminder email. Put it in your to-do email, and when you read it, take 15, 20 minutes, work through some stuff, like just study that topic every day a little bit. And man, I really think that it can do some good stuff.
No, it can. And our big push, and I really agree with Al on this, is to try to get us all to be in better habits of actually writing down both our initial thoughts on something, our findings, where we feel that we might be deficient, whatever that may be, and using that as an opportunity to grow. Because if we spend the time to write something down, we commit it to memory. And on top of that, we also have a record to look upon years down the line. And I think and that's something Al and I have talked about in this. I think Al's got a lot of volumes of stuff he's researched in the past, and he can reflect upon that. But doesn't mean we can rest on our laurels and rest on spiritual experiences.
It's
we
awesome
had 5
though
years
because. Because you have like 50 topics that you could get up and give a talk about very, very easily because you've asked and answered questions, found scriptures, found some quotes. All that stuff is included in there. The stuff that's helped you gain your understanding and inspiration, it's all there.
Yeah.
It's handy to have.
And so we definitely hope you'll do it. I do think...
Join us!
I do think that I'm hopeful for this given the... we've had a very warm response to Sunday School Bonanza ever since we started it. In earnest, really, you know, last year. And it's been very, very good, and we've had a lot of positive feedback, and we appreciate that from everybody. So we certainly hope this will be another step, aside from all the fun we have on the show, but of actually helping us to be better, more proactive disciples. I think that's really something we can do.
So, Jeff, let's get to the Mormon news. Did
this is the news.
Yeah, Samaki win the Mali election?
They're still counting ballots because in developing countries, they actually count by hand, so it takes a while. He will not win the Mali election. He's not even going to be... Let's put it this way. In Mormon publications, there are articles about him and the impact he's having in Mali. In non-LDS, just general knowledge publications, he's not even his name doesn't even show up in the article if you do a search for it.
Who's going to win?
I believe an ex-prime minister who right now is leading so far that they wouldn't even have to do a runoff. So,
whoa.
The way a lot of parliamentary systems work, you see if nobody beats a 50% threshold, usually the top two or three vote getters then go into a runoff, which forces the public to only vote between them as opposed to the myriad of other candidates. But Yah Samake's little story here with Mali, I'm sure, is not over, but he will not be the president or anything like that.
Sweet. Well, glad we got that out of the way. I feel like we could have saved ourselves some drama.
But the upside is Mali's election seemed to have been peaceful, and after a very difficult year and a half for the country, it seems to be finding its footing once more.
Good for them.
It is good. It is good, Al. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Al, tell me about Kansas City reviewing the MTC.
Oh, you want me to do another one? Yeah, that's fine.
Well, because I really did the Mali one. And you said, Jeff, tell me about the Mali election. Now I'm saying, Al.
Oh, I see what happened. No, I see. Oh, we got off on a weird foot there. Something got funky.
Lots of questions. Well, so, asking.
Let's see, the Kansas City Star. Peggy Fletcher Stack got an article into the Kansas City Star, which good for you, Peggy. Way to be syndicated.
I think this just means the Kansas City Star is reprinting something she wrote. But yeah.
Yeah, well they're excited. So we've got but this is good. This is cool for me because I actually see it because it's in the Kansas City Star. Whereas I would never read the Deseret News unless they advertise with us. Which is kind of like saying, I'm not their friend until they buy me a Christmas present, but you know what I mean. But it's just a review of old Provo, the MTC. So it's out there. It's a good one to share. I mean,
what does it say about it? Is it written from a very non-Mormon perspective?
I don't know about a non-Mormon perspective, she says. It's no Animal House, though the raucous frats, food fights, and binge drinking... This is Mormonism's elite, where the men wear white shirts and ties and women don modest skirts and dresses. That feels like a fraternity. Feels like a frat house to me.
Yeah,
but maybe one where like they're focused on business. Yeah. Peggy Fletcher Stack, you need to get out to some frat houses.
Yeah, I don't love that she kind of calls it the elite missionary training center. Elite? They're missionaries.
It says it ranks second among the nation's largest on-site language schools behind the U.S. Defense Department's Language Institute in Monterey.
Monterey.
Mormons have perfected their language training through years. No. Did you come out of the MTC with a perfected language training or even a foundation upon which to learn? No. I got to the field and forgot everything.
I had a foundation, but then the field, was where it gets instilled. The greatest thing is when you learn Spanish, for example, there are many dialects of Spanish, even, something like Ukrainian and Russian. There are differences, too, that you probably saw, of course, Al. But, but there are, there's a lot of variety in every language. And they teach you Latin American Spanish for the most part. But then I got sent to Spain. And so half of what we learned was just bull by the time we were in Spain. Just totally different nouns and verbs that they use. And the rules stayed the same. But as far as vocabulary and stuff...
Poppycock.
We had to be there in the country for it to make a difference, because I was like...
Poppycock.
Yeah. I would say, hey, where is la computadora? And the Spaniards just shake their heads at you.
Whoa, what does that mean? What did you say?
In Latin America, computadora is computer. In Spain, a computer is called el ordenador.
Oh, like a matador.
No, it actually means the orderer or the organizer.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, I know. But that's unrelated. Okay. Anyway, yeah, here's a great article if you want to read all about the MTC and why it's full of elite people.
Just Peggy Fletcher Stack, you're everywhere. You are the McKay Coppins of our day.
I'll give her this, though. There's a quote down near the bottom where a sister who's going to Argentina says, I learned more Spanish here than sitting in high school class for 2 years. I'll totally agree with that. I learned more basic crux of language in brief MTC time than I ever did actually going to
Jessica
school.
Jessica Howard from King City, California? That's where I used... That was my old home ward.
Maybe you can be with her.
Everything about this article, Kansas City, Monterey, King City, California. Wow.
It's speaking to you, Al.
It really is. It really is. Homesickness is a real issue, says Margaret Young. Yeah, weenie, go home if you want to be home. Go home, Margaret Young.
All right. We've got a handful of articles that are all sort of related to marriage-ish things.
Okay. Yeah, you're all about the marriage this week.
It's a good week for marriage. But, folks, I'm excited to announce we are returning about 2.5 years later to the world of Feel a Man's Hand on Me.
What?
If you doth not knoweth what we speaketh.
I doth'n't.
In spring or so of 2011, this woman, Nicole Hardy, wrote a piece that was featured in the New York Times about the struggles of being, in her late 30s, a Mormon expected to live the law of chastity, etc., etc. And it seemed to reach the conclusion in the end that she was going to renege on her faith. Because, as she said it, she would feel a man's hand on her before she died. It was a great piece. It is thought-provoking in a sense because I can understand people getting frustrated and potentially wanting to throw in the towel.
Sexually frustrated, Jeff?
Yeah,
is that a real thing?
It is a real thing. You're experiencing it right now, Al, while we are talking.
All right.
And so apparently I assume she has felt the man's hand on her by this point. I'm not sure. I don't know if she has succeeded.
You don't know if she's felt it?
Well, what happened. She wrote the piece. And then she was approached with a book deal to write a book about it. So now this woman will write a book.
A six-figure book deal?
A six-figure book deal about feeling a man's hand on her, apparently. So she's going to have a book that's going to come out here, and it's going to blow your mind.
She's 41 now, Jeff. She won't... Her problem is that... Isn't a man's hand on her body just in the Mormon church? It's anywhere. No one will touch a 41 lady.
Well, if you remember from the discussion a few years ago, I had to get refreshed on this. But part of her issue was the fact that she is a Mormon woman who does not want kids. And that was a problem in her...
You should just not tell men that. Hide this.
Yeah, that was a problem in her quest for marriage. Understandably so. You're not going to find a lot of Mormon guys who are just like, yeah, I don't want them either. Let's just beat again.
Well, not necessarily. I feel like you're not going to find a lot of women that are no, I don't want them. Just the same as you're not going to find a lot of men, but they're out there.
Of course, they're out there. So she is now has her book deal. There are men, and there is feeling, and there are hands, and she's nervous about it. Her parents haven't read it.
So she's left the church, right?
It does not specify, but I think so.
Says one of her new talents since drifting from the Mormon church has been maintaining a spiritual life. She finds it through art and literature and nature. Quote, I don't need to be told when and where to go to have a spiritual experience. As for a romantic experience, for now, Hardy is single and open to a relationship.
So after all of this, after her complaining about wanting to feel a man's hand on her, 2.5 years later, now she's like, well, it's not really a priority at this point. Shouldn't she be so... I feel that she's painted the picture of desperately needing a man in her life, and now she's playing the feminist card.
Listen, no guy wants a desperate woman. She's got to be aloof.
No, she should have been pathetic. Like, you want to talk about pathetic? One time, this is a random segue or aside, but I was watching Chopped Barbecue All-Stars. on the Food Network. And bear with me, this is going somewhere. They had a woman on there, a chef, who desperately wanted to get married. And all she mentioned at all of her little talking head moments and stuff like that while she's talking is how she hoped that the exposure from being on Chopped would lead to men asking her out so she wouldn't be alone anymore.
Was she a good-looking woman? I'll ask her out.
Good is such a subjective term.
She was a looking woman.
She was a looking woman. So, sorry, I just couldn't help but think of that when I thought about this Nicole Hardy who so desperately wanted a man, and now...
She's like, so, now that I've got your attention...
Well, yeah, now that the
now
that the trees and the raccoons are giving her all the spirituality that she needs, she's home.
Finally.
I guess I shouldn't make fun of it, but I take issue personally with the whole, like, I'm spiritual but not religious movement.
Well, yeah, that's silly. And also, I mean, back to the core argument. I've heard this a lot from people, and I'm not sure how serious they are, but I think some people are more serious than maybe they let on, of just like, once I get to a certain age, I mean, I'm just going for it. I'm going for it, and I don't care.
You mean they're
going
to
be back eventually?
They're going to make the whoopee?
Another bride, another groom.
I understand it would get old waiting for that for so long. And the promise of simply saying, hey, if you might not get married in this life, hold out, and you'll still have that experience in the great beyond, isn't a lot of comfort. I can understand.
You know what I've heard a couple of times is look at Sherry Dew. I don't feel like Sherry Dew would ever say, look at me, you can have hope. Sherry Dew probably wants to be married. Like, why do we look at Sherry Dew as a...
It's true. She does. Remember, I saw her speak at a BYU fundraising dinner a couple of months ago, and she was very frank about it. She's like, I've always felt that there's a void in my life because I've not been married and I haven't had kids.
I really want to marry Sherry Dew.
No, Sherry
I think
don't.
I can handle her. I think she'd be a little bit rough around the edges, you know, just at dinner parties and things. Maybe a bit.
Yeah.
But I feel like we'd have a good time.
Well,
traveling.
She oozes that feminine charm, so.
She is a wonderful woman.
You guys can talk Deseret Book strategy.
Oh, my gosh. We'd be business tycoons.
We can be featured in Deseret Book. There will be
Are there reverse gold... Like, are there man gold diggers? Is that a thing? Like, if I married Oprah, I feel like that would... Yeah, it'll be the same as if I married Oprah.
You can still dig for gold, regardless of gender.
Perfect.
You could even do same-sex gold digging. Really, the possibilities are endless.
Okay, but that wouldn't fit with our church's beliefs, Jeff.
No, not ours, but I'm just giving... Well, Oprah's not Mormon either, so I don't know what you're going for with that.
Clearly, I would convert her through the angel network that she so readily believes in, I'd hide the ring under her seat and say, go ahead, Oprah, look under your seat. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. You're really pleased
with this. It's a ring.
No, you're supposed to say, you get a ring and you get a ring.
And then I'll jump on the couch with her like Tom Cruise. All right,
anyway,
these are good ideas.
Folks, ladies, if you're hitting 40
digress.
You haven't had the relations yet, don't give up. And go hang out in the woods.
Men, don't go. Yeah, don't get all scandalous on us. Just be good. Because look at Hardy. Look at this woman. She made this choice and she said, "No, I will feel a man's hand in her body." Now she has no gospel. She has no. She has a six-figure book deal.
She has no friends either. I have it on good authority that McKay Coppins is her only friend.
She is friendless outside of McKay and Peggy Fletcher Stack. But
even McKay and Peggy don't like her.
Yeah, they're like cordial. They're just friends.
When the three of them get together and Nicole Hardy gets up to go to the restroom, Peggy and McKay talk smack on her when she walks away.
They say, but seriously, are we doing this negative woman thing again?
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
You don't want that. You don't want that. We're happier alone. Let's all get together and eat ice cream, friends. Anyway.
This is going to be these are going to be all of the twim get-togethers that Al starts hosting now in Utah. Who wants to come over and be happier alone?
It's like more... yeah, anyway.
I think there are many of our listeners who would be happy to be Mrs. Al.
Yeah, many. Dozens. maybe.
And if polygamy were still a viable option, there'd be many who'd be willing to be number two or number three in my you know, arrangement. But
sure, okay.
I'm happy with the one.
Hey, so we had that crazy, the crazy Barcelona, Spain train accident.
It did not happen in Barcelona, Spain. It happened in Santiago de Compostela, which is in northwestern Spain.
Yeah, so Barcelona, whatever.
Barcelona's in northeastern Spain.
Crazy, crazy to see happen. Just like this tragedy, just crazy. I mean,
you're really good with like 100 people, adjectives.
80 people died.
About 80 people have died. Yeah.
Do you disagree with my choice of adjectives?
No, your adjectives are fine. You're fine. I mean, this you can keep.
I was having trouble describing it. I'm looking at pictures of this.
It's
and there's nothing. There's nothing.
It's catastrophic. Now, I've of course, regular listeners know I served my mission in Spain. This hits, you know, a little close to home. It's not like I'm personally affected by it, but when you see suffering in a country of people you really love and know very well, I actually even looked up where this grade of track was. What happened, of course, is the train hopped the track on a sharp curve when it was going twice the speed it should have been going. So,
was it like engineer error? Was it the train engineer?
The driver, the conductor, whatever, is being held right now. Charges pending. Nobody knows what's going. They're trying to find out more before they can just.
He was probably texting.
They said he was on the phone, but he was on the phone with the railway agency's like. National field office. So that might have been like a related work call that he was supposed to take. I don't know. But it's really tragic. But Al, I think you were getting into something with this, with the.
Well, so there's a Mormon missionary on there who survived and was interviewed on CNN. And I mean, pretty just kind of great. It's a bright spot in that mess of a story. Just where he I mean, take 4 minutes and watch the video. It's
a
little bit. It's just this kid, this 18-year-old kid who's been beat up pretty good through this, and the guy's like, "So, you know, do you want to come home?" And he's like, "No, I'm proud to be a representative of the church. I'm proud to be a representative of Jesus Christ. I'm excited to be here." Just it's good to see some of that enthusiasm in missionaries.
He was a surprisingly well-spoken 18-year-old. And so he was just leaving the MTC in Madrid. He'd finished up his 9 weeks of MTC time and was alone on the train being sent to his first area.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, I'm filling in those gaps on my own, but it said he had left the MTC, so I'm assuming that's... And he was alone, so that you put those two things together. The only time I was
he was writing in his journal.
Yeah, the only time I was ever alone on my mission was during transfers. So, I assume that's what happened. But it's actually a great video to watch. The kid represents himself and the church very, very well. I think
best 4 minutes of your day, people.
Absolutely, except for the 4 minutes you spent listening to us, and then four.
Right, right.
Hey, you ready for some more marriage talk?
Yeah, give it to me, Jeff. Okay. What else you got?
Here's a website called DivorcedLDS.blogspot.com. It's called Devout Yet Divorced Mormons. Here's a post called A Letter to Singles Ward Bishops. Al.
Oh, this is important for you.
No, but it's important to many of our listeners. And this is the problem, the letter to bishops. And I believe many of you who have been in the singles scene can perhaps agree or disagree with the problems. Al, do you feel like, for example, number one point is we want to get married. Do you feel that when you go to church, they treat you as if everyone there doesn't actually want to get married?
Yeah, there's a little bit of let me trick you into wanting to get like a lot of the talks and not so much the talks, but more the general attitude is like sort of from like our leaders are you should all be married. Like I feel like some of them look at singles wards and just say, "Why are you even here?
Yes.
If you all just got married, this wouldn't be an issue."
But I do feel
and so. Yeah. So a lot of it is like the sales pitch, right? Where they're like, "Me and my wife of 35 years, you should try it sometime."
Yeah,
I feel like that happens.
So that's there's fair. A lot of stuff here. It talks about how, you know, hey, we're traumatized by divorce. We were raised in different circumstances. So there's that.
Also true. As, especially like fresh home from the mission, 21, 22, not as traumatized by divorce. 24, 25, half of your friends that you've seen get married are divorced now. and scary.
It messes with you. And of course, everyone gets a complex as well, which I agree with. You know, the whole, are you dating anybody? Why not? When you very easily feel in the single scene in the church.
I don't feel like that's so much an issue. I never got that.
But don't you feel? But you might feel like something is wrong with you if you are not actively in the dating scene.
Yeah. Like, you feel like you're, I don't know, maybe, I could see that. Okay.
Yeah. So there's just some of these points here that you people can go and read about. But I think it's
fair. What else does she have?
We are independent, lonely, and insecure.
Now, I feel like loneliness is an interesting thing that people don't talk about enough.
I think a lot of people are lonely, both single, married, what in the church, out of the church. But there are many, many lonely people.
Yeah, when was the last time we had a talk on loneliness?
Like, never. Like, oh my gosh. Like, wow.
And I genuinely think that a lot of people struggle with that. That's the one thing. Like, when you're home on a Friday night, it's not that you necessarily, the only thing going through your head is you wish that you weren't sitting home alone. I mean, that's it, right? Like, I wish that, it doesn't even have to be a lover. Just give me somebody that cares about me and we're out doing something meaningful. Like, that's what you're looking for. And, man, just with our social media age, I feel like so many people are able to placate themselves enough that they end up staying home or doing whatever they do, just cooking dinner alone, and then nothing else happens. And we like consume our time with Facebook or reading articles online or just killing time, essentially.
Catherine Heigl movies, yeah.
Feeling men's hand on our body with Hardy, you know, things like that, and it's hard. That's probably, like, even for me, I feel like I'm a successful guy and I've got a lot of friends and all that stuff. But when I end up home alone and you're feeling those pangs of loneliness, I mean, that's really, really hard. And so the fact that we don't really know where to place that as a church leadership in the singles world, I think is maybe a bad thing.
All right.
Difficult. No, would you say, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Bill, what are you reading, Jeff? You're distracted.
I'm taking you to the next thing. The last one's sort of about marriage from LDS Living. What Mormon men want in a wife. It's pretty. I like graphs.
So did it say anything interesting?
We have a graph that I assume rates certain attributes or things on a scale of 1 to 10. Is my guess. And it's one is either according to married LDS.
No, no, men, no. Number 3 on this list, being a great spouse. Yeah. What do men want in a wife? Being a great spouse is 3rd.
I don't. Are they ranking? I don't think they're ranking them. Are they though?
Yes.
No, because the numbers go up and down. It depends. It's not consistent.
On a scale of 1 to 10, so getting a 9.46 average of both.
No,
men,
no,
women, and married men.
What I'm saying is the ones the scale is on the y axis, but on the x axis, numbers 1 through 15, those are just numbered. I don't think those represent a ranking in and of themselves.
If you look at the lines on the graph, Jeff, there's ones that are higher.
I know, but they're not consistently higher. They vary a little.
Okay,
bit.
Scroll down a little bit in this article, and you'll see they stack rank them from the ones that are statistically highest.
There we go. So that works. So
to the lowest.
So it's an average. The point is they surveyed both married LDS men.
Is that the point, Jeff? I feel like you're brushing past the fact.
Single LDS
men. You were
men.
Trying to explain to me how to read a graph.
And then the funny thing is they only interviewed LDS women, not single LDS women. It's fun to see where the sexes line up and where they wildly diverge. Like, for example, being able to physically protect the family is extremely important to women. But to single LDS men, it's like 3rd to last.
Now, are these women projecting what they think men would value?
No, no. It's women to rate what qualities were most important in themselves. Clearly, I have to teach you how to read the graph, Al, because it says it right there.
So you're telling me women feel like they need to be able to physically protect the family?
Sure. Yes.
Is that what this is saying?
Makes a difference in the world. Women care about that. Men don't. Spiritual leader in the home. Women care about that. Men don't. Financially successful. I think this is...
That is kind of interesting that a spiritual leader in the home, protecting the family. Women are assuming a lot of the roles that have traditionally been man roles. They feel like they need to be ready for that.
But you know what's sad about this list?
Are they just scared of divorce?
Everyone's scared of divorce, Al.
Jeff, don't get divorced.
I'm not going to. I'm a rock star. But notice there's no mention of physical intimacy anywhere on this, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, where is that
ranking? It's LDS Living. They had to censor it and make it nice, because, which is unfortunate, because let's face it, sex, and this is not wrong to say, is a big component of marriages and can be a big area of contention or misunderstanding or blah, blah, blah. It's a shame they did not include it on the list, because it is it's a big part of marriage.
What do you feel about this? It says, men aren't looking for supermodels. What are they looking for? One man put it this way. I'm usually not looking at weight or fitness or anything like that. To me, it's a lot more about whether they look like they have enough esteem in themselves when they go out to try and make themselves be their best.
Yeah,
that's not, I don't feel like that's any man.
No, that's just a line. No, what every guy thinks is, look at her mother.
Yeah. Yeah, if you've got an ugly mom, I am sorry.
Ladies, if you want to know what men think, Al will tell you.
Yeah, I will.
I will not.
No, we are all kind of superficial pigs, and anything that we do outside of that is like a huge win for us, where we're like, man, you know what?
Yeah.
I really like this girl.
Yeah, I just
really like her, even though she is an enormous woman.
I just have to twiddle my thumbs on this whole one. Otherwise, repercussions.
Jeff, you have a handsome wife.
I have a beautiful wife. I'm married way out of my league when it comes to,
you did. Well, because I look at you and you've got that weird hair thing that happens in your eyes.
Do you mean the fact that my hair is thinning along my crown?
Are they? Is it?
Yeah, it's.
You're balding?
You want to hear a sad... This story... Oh, no, it's thinning a little bit up here. This is really sad, though. I went to get my hair cut last week. And
go on.
When it was all done, I went to this place...
Yeah, when you went to get your hair, dude, what happened? What'd he say?
I went to this little... It's like a Supercuts equivalent. It's nothing fancy, but it works for out here because it's $16 and I don't want to spend
Sports Cuts?
No, it's called the Haircuttery. So you go to the Haircuttery. It's nothing but a bunch of like Ethiopian women. And so she finishes my hair. It's fine. I'm happy with the job. And then they always try to upsell you to, hair care products. Of course. It's what they do. They make a lot of money with that. Better margins. And then she goes, and Al, you'll be able to see this if you watch me at least. So she just goes, do you want any shampoo over there? Because you know. Motioning with her index finger and her thumb sort of extended.
Like, oh, that your temples are balding.
Kind of like pushing up. My temples or my crown are receding, making this sort of...
And you're like, I'm never coming back here, you angry woman.
I just sat there like, ugh. No, you notice when this is a real part of your life, because if you go to get your hair cut and they wash your hair, they will not exert much effort right along the crown for fear of aggravating an already weakened area.
Really?
This is...
I feel like I got a good head of hair.
Yes, ladies, Al, your hair is beautiful.
Ladies, I'm not bald. I don't think I will go bald.
I used to pride myself on my hair, but now it's still fine.
Well, lucky for you, you're married.
Well, I've been beating the odds for a long time. I should have gone bald when I was like 19.
Yeah, that is so true.
So that is that. That should also have been on this list for stuff. Has a full head of hair.
So CNN had an article this week on why millennials are leaving the church.
Tell me.
And the church is... just in general, I believe in this case, they're talking about the Catholic Church. But I like this is...
Well, they're actually... They're talking more about
writing this. It's just
evangelicals.
Churches.
Yeah.
We're leaving churches.
Yeah.
And so they were asking this woman who, I guess, some sort of an authority. She used to be a pastor. Why this is. And she was saying that they'd go... You know, people would ask her why. Why they are like, why are millennials leaving the church? And she would say, well, she would talk about research that shows that often they feel like they have to choose between their intellectual integrity and their faith, between science and Christianity, between compassion and holiness. She'd talk about the obsession with sex and how that can make Christian living seem a little more like sticking to a list of rules. And how millennials long for faith communities in which they are safe asking tough questions and wrestling with doubt. And then Then she says, immediately after she's finished her presentation and opens the floor to questions, some pastor raises his hand and says, so what you're saying is we need hipper worship bands. And she's just like, no. You know, so what's interesting about this whole article to me is that she's absolutely right. I mean, there's all the stuff that, like, the reasons why I feel like people are leaving and looking for other things that are exactly as she described. I mean, the idea that we're not supposed to doubt. That you know, we aren't allowed to question, we aren't allowed to look anywhere else, and there is this weird obsession with sex. The morality issue is one that, like, gets pegged just on one or two points of being chaste, and that's all that we ever hear about, you know, because it's such a big problem. I mean, it gets banged on all the time. The number of porn talks I've had as a male,
nice verb,
growing up in singles forms.
Nice verb choice.
Porn talks, Jeff?
Nope.
Are you familiar with
before
these?
Before that one. Never mind. Yes.
What did I say?
Doesn't need repeating. It's fine. But, but it's not...
What did I say? Was it offensive?
No, it wasn't offensive. It was just beautiful innuendo given the subject matter.
So anyway, this stuff happens, and our leadership hears it and says, well, I guess we ought to get on the Twitters and the Facebooks, because that's where the kids are now. You know, I feel like it's old marketing versus new marketing, and our old marketers just don't get it.
Well, it's not just the marketing, though. This article is arguing that people, they want the substance. Like, they don't want new ways to market something. They want actual fundamental differences in the way we learn. Like, it says right here, you know, that many evangelicals' surveys have shown often feel that they have to choose between their intellectual integrity and their faith, between science or Christianity, between compassion and holiness. And I agree with you, yes, it does say the obsession with sex is also a problematic thing. But it's the fact that a lot of people in religion today are increasingly drawn to high church traditions, as she describes it, Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy, because in this day and age, people actually don't find ancient forms of liturgy. They don't find it to be very pretentious and unauthentic. They actually find it to be a legitimate exercise in piety, which I am inclined to agree with. I mean, I myself look at, and this is not to disparage anyone from an evangelical background, but when I see evangelical churches there's a lot of theatrics, it's lively, the bands, I don't get the appeal of that personally. Whereas if I'm visiting, just sitting in a Catholic church, and I actually see a reverence associated with what they do, even if I don't believe in all of it.
Yeah,
obviously.
I agree.
But I appreciate sort of the actual way that reverence, to revere, when I actually see revering God in a solemn, holy way, even if it's not, you know, the full restored gospel.
Well,
that's fine.
That's why we were so excited to hear that with the missionary changes, they're opening up the church buildings a little more. A girlfriend of mine came to visit me on Sunday before I flew out.
Did you make out with
her? We walked up to a Catholic church and just, you know, sat in there for a little while. It was great.
Walked up, right? Like, you mean the one that's like on your block?
Well, across the street from me, yeah. So she goes on to mention, she says, no, like, when you hear this, you think that you just, we need edgier music, more casual services, a coffee shop in the fellowship hall, and a pastor wears skinny jeans. But what we want is an end to culture wars. We want a truce between science and faith. We want to be known for what we stand for, not what we are against. We want to ask questions that don't have predetermined answers. We want churches that emphasize an allegiance to the kingdom of God over an allegiance to a single political party or a single nation. We want our lesbian and gay community friends to feel truly welcome in our faith communities. And we want to be challenged to live lives of holiness, not only when it comes to sex, but also when it comes to living simply, caring for the poor and oppressed, or pursuing reconciliation, engaging in creation care, and becoming peacemakers. I feel like as an LDS church member, all that stuff rings true. It's interesting that you know, all churches are kind of running into a similar thing, but I feel like even us as a church, that strikes very true, or that rings very true to me, what you described. I mean, because I'm Mormon should not mean that I'm Republican, because I hate that people only know Mormons for what they can't do and not for what we do stand for. Like, that kind of stuff really, really frustrates me.
That said, some of that is also, I think, we bring it upon ourselves. How much of our focus and lessons stresses the things we need to avoid as opposed to what we need to pursue? So that does happen as well.
That's a good point.
I don't remember what the article was, but coupled with this sort of, I realized that I saw another article this week that talked about sort of the rise of liberal Christians, in the sense of not lapsed Christians who are liberal, but actual active evangelicals, but who happen to go from the left, which we haven't seen a lot of, really, in this day and age. And that this seems to be on the upswing, and I think this article supports that. You know, these are people who still want to have all of the faith in God and live a simple, good life, but who also espouse other values that perhaps, you know, we haven't seen. And like I said, you know, we don't want to be known for being in one party. I don't think anyone from any religious body.
But we're excited to be open-minded.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, we gotta hurry through this, Jeff. So let's see, a couple.
My turn.
What?
My turn.
Oh, yeah,
turn.
Go, fast.
Some quick ones here. Fort Collins Temple groundbreaking is announced. That's Fort Collins, Colorado. Colorado getting its second temple. The groundbreaking will be held August 24th, 2013.
Way to go, Colorado. Wow.
August 24th, 2013.
I love the artist rendition of that temple. It's a cool. I'm excited for these, like, interesting temples.
Yeah, I like it, too. Interestingly enough as well, I also heard that in the Fort Collins area, there has been a terror threat associated with against our church because of the temple groundbreaking and the Catholic Church in this area right now. There's been an alleged Islamic terrorist cell like that might blow crap up at one of these events.
Seriously? That's not good.
That was in the news this week, yeah. So Fort Collins temple things going on. Let's see, what else do I have here? One
hard-hitting news from Peggy Fletcher Stack, Jeff.
Tell me, Al. Tell me.
The skinny on skinny ties.
And tell
me. There are no for Mormon missionaries.
In case it wasn't clear to you, in the new dress and grooming standards, no skinny ties. What's wrong with skinny ties? It's
they're too hipsterish.
Probably. People will think...
We need big paisley ties that you tie super short. That's what represents the Lord.
It's funny as I've been reading, making my way once again through my David O. McKay book, and you see sort of some of the importance these brethren in the 50s and 60s put upon appearances, though. Nowadays, we try to just blend in and look acceptable, and let's face it, our whole point is to make it so that we couldn't possibly offend anybody. That's the point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you never want to meet somebody who's like, I like those Mormons, but clearly with the skinny ties, they are not humble enough, or who knows, you know, whatever, so... It's funny reading this old stuff and how much they wanted to make sure that we had nice, not just nice, but like nice church facilities and that missionaries wore good stuff and that the general authorities wore nicer suits. It's just funny. That's an aside. But
so let's see. We got a little bit more modesty jibber jabber.
Is it even worth talking about?
Yeah. Well, so Jessica Ray, you remember that video from a little while ago that we watched where she discussed it. It's just a good article on modesty again, just some more interesting thoughts around, you know, how a lot of times it's hard for a woman. I feel like the line that we draw for women is difficult for them to walk sometimes. And so the more we can try and understand the purpose of modesty and the context of it, I feel like the better off we'd be. Give it a perusal if you like the Jessica Ray one.
There we go. Another good question. Are we human or are we the Sunstone Symposium? They're going to explore at Sunstone this year. Mormons' views of the human body. So there we go.
What?
Yeah.
What will this be?
The Sunstone Symposium that happens every year. This year will be Wednesday through August 3rd. So it's going.
And... they're just going to show us Mormon bodies?
No, it's a 4-day annual conference. They always talk about a lot of thinking and stuff like that. And they're going to talk about the nature of our belief in the human body, which does differ from many people. We believe in a God of flesh
and... the body of Christ?
A God of flesh and bone, for example.
Yeah.
So that's going on. Also of note, I would actually like to make sure everyone knows about this. University of Wisconsin-Madison is doing a study about sort of Mormon communications, particularly in social media... web forums, podcasts, etc. It's actually a very interesting study, and I hope we'll link to it. I put it up on Facebook earlier this week.
Yeah, I took it. It was interesting to go through. It was kind of curious the questions they asked.
Yeah, they're trying to see really what goes on. They ask questions like, are there podcasts that you feel actually, or forums, whatever, that are negative and why? Are there positive ones and why? I admit I was dismayed that This Week in Mormons did not show up on the default choices for podcasts of choice.
Savages.
And some of our noted rivals did. But aside from this show, really actually a good thing to take. If you're listening to the show, you obviously care about online LDS communities in one way or another. So go take the survey and be a part of the action. And if you do, if our show applies within that, then put it in as a write-in. Not because we want to promote it, but because represent, you know, what you actually listen to. If that's the case, that'd be
great. Amen. Also, go check out history.lds.org. They're really pumping it up lately, putting some cool stuff in there. You've got good resources to view. Go check it out.
Oh, the best one there is the they go into a lot more detail now about revelations in context, is what they call it, which I think is sorely lacking a lot of the time in our Doctrine and Covenants discussions, to actually understand the background behind everything that's going on.
Oh, my gosh. There's some of those that you read, and you're like, why does this matter? Until you go and like actually get the context. No, it's, and you're like, oh.
And it's really big, and I actually I was recording some Sunday School Bonanza episodes this week and with a guy who's looked at this website, and it was amazing how much it really bolstered and improved our conversation about some various topics. So,
hey, we did one this week too, and it was pretty
It was awesome.
Mediocre.
And lastly, the Mormon Choral Organizations. Now,
no, we don't care about this. You only care about this because Colin.
Well, they have a chapter now in the Salt Lake Valley. So
does not matter.
A direct MOTAP competitor. Hit it, people. Do it, Rockapella.
Go get them.
So I think it's going to do it for us this week.
Jeff, great talking to you, man.
And to
Have
you.
A good week.
You heard where to go in the beginning of the show, so go to those places. But above all, go to thisweekinmormons.com. Email us, contact
Leave
us.
A comment.
Leave comments. Contact us at contact@thisweekinmormons.com and sign up for our gospel study program that we're going to be wheeling out here soon.
All right, and Jeff. Have a great week,
listen,
man.
Listen for Sunday School Bonanza. Okay.
You have so much love for me.
I have a lot of love for you, Al. I hope you have a good one.
All right. You too, buddy.
And to all of you folks, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.